things, in a lot of things. But there are a lot of ways in which we are extraordinarily similar. We might parent our kids in very, very different ways, but you know that there's something about your parenting and my parenting that's the same? There's something that we all do as parents. We want to bless our kids. We want to reward our kids. They might do something that, you know, you're proud of, you're excited about what they did or what they accomplished or what they said or how they were generous or kind or they went out of their way to help somebody out. And what do you want to do? You want to praise them. You want to say, hey, that was awesome that you did that. You want to reward them. You take them out for ice cream. You throw them a party. You give them a raise in their allowance. You know, whatever your method is as a parent, that'll be different. But I guarantee you, as your parent, you love rewarding your kids. And parents take great joy when their kids get it right. But there's a danger in this, and many of you have probably experienced this, is that your kids start finding out the exact kind of things that they want you to do and say. And so they can start acting in certain ways to get the rewards when they're not really interested in doing those particular things. So they might know mom and dad will just be thrilled as long as I brush my teeth, eat my vegetables, get good grades, and be nice to my sister. But what happens after a while? Kids start realizing, well, if I just, you know, wet my toothbrush under the sink, mom and dad will think that I brushed my teeth. And if I scrape my vegetables to Fluffy, you know, at the dinner table, they'll think I ate my vegetables. You know, we start thinking of different ways so your kids can start acting in certain ways that you just continue praising them, and then we're going to take you out for ice cream, and we're going to give you a raise and your allowance, and you get all these blessings for things that as kids that they just don't deserve, because after a while they started performing in a certain way that was completely disconnected from their heart. And so God, as a parent, wants to bless you. He wants to reward you. He wants to be good to you. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that we love the book of Psalms. This is our fifth week in a series on the book of Psalms. And we love the book of Psalms because it promises God's blessing on our life. And so we have certain Psalms that we just love because they encourage us, because they tell us that God is going to bless us. And there's this pattern throughout the book of Psalms that basically declares this: God rewards the righteous. And you see it over and over again. God rewards the righteous. And as you read through the book, you'll pick up on different principles. So they'll say, you know, if you obey God, God rewards you. If you're nice to God, God will be nice to you. If you're nice to others, God will be nice to you. And you can start seeing all these behaviors, and what you can very quickly do is start seeing some formulas for tapping into the blessings of God. And you can start seeing, well, hey, you know, if I just do A, B, C, then surely God will be good to me. You know, everybody has those sections in their library, you know, like 8 steps to greater victory and 9 steps to financial freedom and 37 steps to righteousness and 73 steps to sanctification. Everybody has those books, right, where there's different steps in order to achieve something. And we can be really drawn to finding formulas, because if we just go, hey, if I just do all of these things, life's just going to be great. If I just follow this formula. But just like a kid who starts wetting their toothbrush, we can start going through the actions when something's not real in our heart. We can think, boy, you know, I haven't missed a Sunday service, and I don't know how long. God must be real thrilled with me. What's important? Well, your desire to be with the people of God in worship, not your attendance record, but we can start behaving in certain ways that are disconnected from our heart. And so this morning, I want us to go, if you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm chapter 112. And I want to encourage you, I want to affirm you in saying that God wants to bless you. He really does. He's a good father who wants to bless you. And Psalm 112 is one of my favorite psalms because it tells me something about myself that I didn't know. It tells me wonderful things about myself. I feel like a better person when I read the 112th psalm. Aren't those good passages of Scripture where you find out good things about you that you didn't know? That God looked at you in a certain way? Just blesses you. And so Psalm 112, we'll start in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who greatly delights in his commandments. Blessed. Isn't that a good word? Isn't that a good word? Blessed. Blessed is the man. Now, ladies, don't be offended. Don't feel ignored. This is not referring to a male. This is referring to an individual. Okay? But I'm just going to say man throughout the rest of my message. So that's the way it is. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who delights greatly in his commandments. Now, I love when you read the Amplified Bible and it gives you some insight into different words. Every time the word blessed appears in the Amplified Bible, it gives a little bracket and then it helps clarify a little bit. It gives three other statements. It says happy, fortunate, and to be envied. So what does it mean to be blessed? It means you're happy. It means you enjoy life. It means that you're fortunate. It means that you have favorable opportunities coming your way on a regular basis. And you're so blessed that other people see your blessings and wish that they had what you had. That's what it means to be blessed, to be envied. Another way of defining the word blessed is empowered to prosper. Empowered to prosper. So when the blessing of God is working in your lives, you are empowered to do well, to succeed in life. It's a supernatural empowerment for you to prosper, to succeed, to do well. And so, I'll just say in short, when you're blessed by God, life is good. Life is good when you're walking in the blessings of God. And this entire psalm gives us a portrait of what it looks like to be blessed. What it looks like when the blessing of the Lord is in your life. So let's continue to read verse 2. This is the first picture that we get. His offspring will be mighty in the land, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Your offspring will be mighty in the land. That means your family will be blessed. Why? Just because of the blessing that's on your life. Your family is automatically blessed. Your seed will be mighty in the land. They're going to have influence in their society. They're going to have influence in their generation. So the blessing of God actually transfers to the next generation. Did you know that? It moves beyond you into your offspring, into your seed. See, don't ever think that your relationship with God only affects you. Don't ever think that. It transfers. It goes to the next generation. And it changes this generation. The generation of the upright will be blessed, which means your current generation will be blessed. Just by you having the blessing of the Lord in your life, you're going to affect those around you. Your current generation will be blessed. And so it affects our present world and it affects our future world. It goes beyond just who you are. Verse 3. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. You know, a lot of people in the church think that wealth is a dirty word. The psalmist didn't. Isn't that amazing? That means that God doesn't think that wealth is a dirty word. You know what? If God did, you know what he'd have to do? He'd have to go sell his cattle on a thousand hills. And he'd have to rip up those streets paved with gold and put down some gravel and tear down that pearly gate and put up a wooden rickety fence. I mean, if God had a problem with wealth, he'd be in some serious trouble. Because God's doing pretty good. And so the blessed man is able to have wealth and riches in his house. So if you weren't convinced by wealth, he follows it up with riches, just to make sure we're all on the same page here. Wealth and riches are in your house, which means you have to have a house to put your wealth in. Isn't that exciting? Anybody in here needing a home? There's a good verse for you. Psalm 112, verse 3. That's got to be your declaration. Wealth and riches are in my home. Next time they call you and threaten to turn off the lights, this is what you stand upon. Wealth and riches are in my home. Maybe your problem is you just haven't found the home yet. Wealth and riches are in store for those who are blessed by God. And then he says a statement that shocks me. And his righteousness endures forever. Wait. Whose righteousness are we talking about here? I've heard about God's righteousness enduring forever. I've heard about God's love enduring forever. My righteousness endures forever? This is what the righteous man is. He is beyond time, if forever, all of eternity. Your relationship with God continues on and on and on. It endures forever. The things that your relationship is built upon with God, those aren't just momentary experiences. They last for all of eternity. Someone who is blessed by God, their righteousness endures forever. And so this verse is saying that you will experience earthly material blessings, okay, provision and prosperity, and eternal spiritual blessings. So both, your relationship with God touches both here and the future, both in your house, on this earth, and forever in heaven. All right, let's carry on. Verse 4. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. This means that you'll experience joy in the midst of dire circumstances. Light dawning in a dark situation. When chaos is going on, you can have joy in you as a blessed man. You can have joy flowing in your life. And you start looking and acting a whole lot like God. You are gracious, merciful, and righteous. Anybody ever paid you a compliment that was that fully loaded? You know what I like about you, Jim? You're gracious, you're merciful, and you're righteous. There's a compliment from God. This is who you are. And these are characteristics that we usually call God. We usually say, well, God is gracious, God is merciful, God's the one who's righteous, not us. I mean, we're so used to just putting all of that on God. And here the psalmist is saying, well, the blessed man, he acts just like God. He has mercy in his life. Why? Because God's been merciful to him. He has righteousness in his life. Why? Because God has given him his righteousness. Verse 5. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. The Message translation of this verse says that this man lends lavishly. Lavishly. I think most people in the world like to think of themselves as generous people. I really do. I really think that most people feel like they are generous, whether it's because, you know, they're giving, you know, significant portions of money to actual churches and charities and organizations and needs and causes, or whether they're just, you know, giving an extra dollar for a certain cause at the Walmart checkout. I think that everybody feels like they're generous. Everybody loves defining themselves as a generous person. But the righteous man is lavish in his generosity. When was the last time you were lavish in your lending to others? God asks you to go tip $100 and you give $500. I mean, lavishly. Someone asks to borrow your car and you give them your car. Is that too lavish for you? Did I cross the line? Wow, okay. It's a little too much. Lavish giving is a part of a blessed person. You'd think, well, Pastor Tim, you know, that's funny. I enjoyed that. That was kind of cute. But seriously, how could you ever actually do that? Could you give someone a car? Well, yeah, it's no problem as long as verse 3 is in your life. If wealth and riches are in your house, Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're saying, you know, you'd look at this verse and you'd say, I can't give lavishly. I can't do it. Well, maybe not yet. Maybe not yet. But as soon as you experience the blessing in terms of your finances, then you will be able to. You will be able to. The question will change at that point. The question will be, will you? Will you be lavish in your giving once you have wealth and riches in your house? And so here we are. We have a person who lends and gives lavishly, but listen to this. He conducts his affairs with justice. Other translations say with wisdom or discretion. Okay, so you can lend lavishly, okay? But you don't check out your brain at the door when you're writing the check. Hear me on this. We usually like getting excited about talking about giving and giving extravagantly, but you don't lose your wisdom when you do so, which means this: you don't give away money you don't have. You don't start filling out the offering envelope with your credit card number if you don't have money to pay it off. You don't give beyond your means. And so the righteous man conducts his affairs, all of his dealings with wisdom, with discretion, with justice. You don't give just because you heard a really good plea for an offering. You give because there's a desire in your heart to give. This is a picture of the righteous man. Verse 6. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. You ever wondered, how would you be remembered after your life is lived? You ever wondered how you would be remembered? You're going to be remembered forever. The influence that you impart to those around you, to your sphere of influence, is lasting forever. You have an eternal change that you impart into others with your life. It passes time. And this is the key. The righteous will never be moved. You're consistent in who you are. You're consistent in your faithfulness. You're not changing, not turning to the right or to the left. You're faithful. You're not shaken. You're not defeated. And verse 7, I love this. He's not afraid of bad news. He's just not afraid of bad news. You're not concerned about getting a bad phone call. You're not concerned about that. You don't have fear on your radar. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. And we spoke about this last week. No fear, no anxiety, no burdens, none of that. Why? Because you're trusting in the Lord. And when you trust God, you don't have to have fear as a part of your life. Verse 8, his heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. So you remain faithful until the battle's over and the victory is won. Until there's victory, you maintain your steady heart. You keep on trusting God all the way through, until the end. It ain't over till it's over. That's in the Bible somewhere, I'm sure. It ain't over till it's over. And even when you think it's over, it ain't over yet, because God hasn't said it's over. Go read the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Be encouraged by all these people who live by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And it gets to the end and it says, all these people died without fully receiving the promises. You're like, well, that deflated my balloon. Why? Because God's calendar is bigger than ours. We want the blessing within this time frame, but God's way beyond that. So it ain't over until God says it's over. Verse 9, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. Once again, his righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. Verse 10, the wicked man sees it and is angry. Why? He's envious of your blessing. So he gnashes his teeth and he melts away, and the desire of the wicked will perish. See, your desires, your good, godly desires that God has given you, those are meant to be fulfilled. The scriptures say that he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, some of us want to just keep putting ourselves down and just thinking about those around us and being so completely selfless that we forget that God wants to fulfill the desires of our hearts. He wants to fulfill those things that are on your heart. But the desires of the wicked, they're going to die with them. They're not going to come to pass because those desires aren't birthed by good and godly motives. They're birthed and grown in selfishness. And so evil men without God will be jealous of the blessing that's on your life. So we've just made our way through 10 verses, which makes up this psalm. Let's dig a little bit deeper here. Because this psalm promises that all of these blessings of the Lord are in the life of someone that this psalm calls righteous. Who looks like this? Who's this a description of? Well, the psalmist says, somebody who's righteous. It's the righteous man, the righteous woman. This is what this is a picture of. So what does it take to be righteous? What do I have to do to qualify? How can I qualify to be righteous? You can't. You can't do anything. You can't do anything in your strength and effort and energy to earn the status of a righteous man. Nothing you can do. But the life of a believer is not about doing, it's about being. It's not about doing, it's not about what you can do with your hands, you know what it is? It's what's in your heart. It's not about your performance, it's not about your activity, what you're doing for God. Now there's plenty of psalms and there's plenty of biblical reasons why God does bless you when you do things for him. He does. He absolutely does. When you do things for God, when you serve him, he knows that, he sees that, and he promises to bless that. But what I'm talking about this morning goes way before any activity on your part. Way outside of your actions for God. See, God, just like every parent on this earth, has a system of rewards and blessings. It's a divine system of positive reinforcement. You see good behavior in your kids and you reward them. Why? So they keep doing it. Right? That was good. Okay, keep doing that. You want the positive reinforcement. God has his own system of positive reinforcement where he blesses you for things that are good. So what does it mean to be righteous? The psalmist gives us a little definition in the very first verse. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and greatly delights in his commandments. If you want to live in the blessing of God, it's not about performance. It's not about behavior modification. It's about your heart. It's about your heart before him. Someone who fears the Lord and loves the word. Fear the Lord and love the word. This happens before you do anything for God. You fear him. That's the only way that you are able to come into the family of God is by acknowledging that God is far superior to you and that you have a need of him in your life. You feared the Lord when you said, God, take my life and do something with it. You feared him. And then it says you've got to greatly delight in his commandment. What is commandment throughout the Old Testament? The commandment was spoken of to refer to the Word, the Holy Scriptures. You fear the Lord and you love the Word. See, we've been so saturated in a world that is built upon doing that we feel the need to do things for God to make him happy. We do. We want to do things for God to make him happy. You know, we think, well, if I do this for my parents, then they'll be happy with me. They'll bless me. They'll reward me. If I do this for my spouse, then he'll be happy with me. She'll be happy with me. If I do this for others, then maybe they'll be nice to me in return. And we're so consumed by doing things for others that we just do the same thing for God. We want to perform to make God happy. And all the while, if we're not careful, we forget about the very thing that matters the most. Forget about the thing that is everything to God. It's your heart. We neglect just the very simplest form of how your very relationship with God ever is able to begin. It's based on your heart. And if your heart's truly after him, he will bless you. He will bless you. And here's a picture of what this psalmist portrays as a position of righteousness in a man's heart. You fear the Lord, you love the Word. You greatly delight in the Word. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you currently pursuing the blessings of God in your life? Or are you pursuing God? Are you chasing after 1, 2, 3 A, B, C, and God will be nice to me? Or are you chasing after God? What's your pursuit? Are you chasing after a healing, or are you chasing after the healer? Are you chasing your provision, or are you chasing your provider? What is your heart on the matter? So we can get so caught up in what we need and what we're praying for and what we're believing for in God, we need this miracle to take place, that we forget God. Our needs become far bigger than God. God, I need you to do this. Your word says that you'll do this. And there's a time and there's a place for that. But what I'm saying this morning is check your heart. Check your heart. Because maybe, just maybe, the thing that you need is to just love Jesus right now. Just worship him. Maybe you don't need to ask him to do anything for you. Maybe you just need to praise him. Just love him. Just be with him. If there's one thing I know about all these things that God wants to do in your life, these blessings, it's that he does them based upon your relationship with him. I mean, there are times when God just steps into the world and performs miracles and just divinely comes into our lives and just shows up in ways where he was maybe never even asked to be there. Maybe nobody ever prayed a prayer. Maybe, I don't know. But the great majority of the time, he works based on your daily relationship with him, your daily submission to him, and he comes in. And so your idea of what wealth and riches in your house looks like might be a little bit different than how he looks at that. You might be waiting for a $1 million check in the mail. And hey, when that comes, I will be right alongside you to praise God with you. I will. I'm not coming to collect your tithe. We have a board for that. Okay. I'll be right alongside you to rejoice with you when God does that. But he just might come at it from another angle. He just might give you more favorable opportunities to get a little bit more here and get a little raise here and take a little bit over here, and he might send you a little check over there. He might do things a little bit different ways than you wanted him to. And when that comes, I mean, when your expenses decrease, God just made you more wealthy. All of a sudden you pay off your car payment. Praise the Lord. Wealth and riches just entered your home. You got a less bill, which means you have more money. Don't go shopping with it. He just blessed you with more. Don't add another bill to your budget sheet. 103rd Psalm, 7th verse says this about God. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. He made his ways known to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. See, the Israelites knew God's acts. The Israelites knew when God showed up and fed them and provided for them. And the Israelites saw God do some pretty amazing miracles. See, so we can read through the stories and we can think, I wish I was there to experience that. The Israelites experienced God. But Moses knew his ways. Think about the power of that. Think about the beauty of not only knowing the kinds of things God does, but knowing his MO. Knowing his method of operation. Moses knew how God worked behind the scenes. He didn't just know if God was going to perform a miracle. He understood and had some insight into how he was going to do it. He knew his ways. Now, what would you rather understand? Would you rather understand and just experience all the miracles, or would you rather be close to the miracle worker? Be able to understand how God works. Now, how do you get to that point? How do you get to that point with someone where you not only know, you know, how they talk and how they put together sentences and what the, you know, little things like that, but you actually know them? You know how you get to that point? This is profound. Get your pens out. You spend time with them. You spend time with them. And we're having the kids come in now. They're going to make their way up to the front as we're getting ready to head towards baptism. And so we're excited to have them here. You got to spend time with somebody in order to know. You get to know their ways. You know, we were at Harvey's a few weeks ago, and we had our meal, and we were about to, as we went, we were going to head to the drive-thru to pick up milkshakes on the road. And we were getting different milkshakes, and I was telling Christine what the different flavors were. Okay, so, you know, they had chocolate, they have vanilla, you know, they have cappuccino, they have strawberry. So I'm giving her all these options, listing them off, and then I said, but I know that you're just going to get the chocolate. But I knew you would want me to give you all of the options so that you could think about it and then decide on chocolate. She thought about it for a little bit and she thought, yeah, I'm going to go with the chocolate. Now, what is that? I don't just know Christine's acts. I know her ways. I know how she thinks. Not all the time. But you experience that, how? By spending time with somebody, by getting to know them, by getting to know them. So here's the thing. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless your family. He wants to empower you to change your community. He wants to see you bring change into the lives of those around you. He's willing to give you every blessing that there is in the 112th Psalm. But he's not looking at what you're doing for him. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your heart. It's not an issue of what you're doing with your hands. It's an issue of your heart. So here's the truth that I want us to hear this morning. A right heart is rewarded with the blessings of God. A right heart. Forget about your activities. Forget about what you think you're doing that makes God happy. A right heart is what gets rewarded with blessings from God. Two questions I'll leave with you based on the first verse of 112 Psalm. Do you fear the Lord? Do you love the Word? And if you don't, what's holding you back? What's holding you back from getting your heart excited about being with a God who loves you? Let me pray for you this morning. God in heaven, we rejoice in your love for us. And God, I thank you for celebrating with us this morning as we fix our hearts and our minds on you, God. And that you would, in response, I know you are willing to pour out your blessings in return. God, I thank you for encouraging our hearts this morning and reminding us of our need to spend time in your presence. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.